The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Where does repentance fit in for believers? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on this episode. Hello and welcome to the show. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and this is Grace in Focus. Currently, we're taking questions from listeners just like you. You may have questions you'd like Dr. Bob or Sean to answer. You can send them to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we are... What? How many shows have we recorded now?
Something like a million, I think.
We're well into the 600s. That's a lot of shows. How many shows did Rush Limbaugh record? How many thousands?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean...
Well, if I'm going to be doing decades of this, and we've done 2 years so far, I'm going to be like in my late 80s or in my 90s when we're... I'm still going to be rolling in
I'll
here.
I'll just and, roll you in front of the yeah. microphone, turn you the right way.
And, even if I die. It can be like Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Well, here's are you ready for some Q&A?
Let's do it.
We're doing Q&A. We're still working on our Doctrine for Disciples book, and we'll do a series on that coming up in the next few months. But for now, Q&A for a little while.
All right.
And are you working on any other books other than that one?
Well, I've been working on my autobiography for a couple of years on and off.
It's just hard to finish that, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's hard to know what'll happen.
Well, yeah, that's right. But the other thing is I keep changing the focus of it. Before I was writing about all these kind of exciting or interesting things or bad things that happened in my life, and I realized that's really not the best approach. So now I've changed the title to it to His Hidden Hand.
Okay.
And I'm basically approaching the whole book from the standpoint of looking at all these episodes in my life where at the time I couldn't see the hand of God. It seemed to be going wrong.
Right.
And then God used that to bring about the good, and kind of like Joseph when he was in prison in Egypt. And God brought it about for good. And so, you know, that's where I'm at. But yeah, I am working on that.
Well, you know what? I have an interesting thought. Tell me if this is true. So as a grace person, you can write your final chapter already, can't you? You know that your final chapter ends with you being with Jesus forever, right?
I do know that.
But an Arminian person can't write that. He or she can't write that final chapter.
No, they have to.
They don't know. They're hoping that they're going to keep on going.
That's right. That's a sad thing. But we're hoping, if some of you out there believe you can lose your salvation, our desire is that you would come to see that's not true. Mm-hmm. That once you're born again, you're born again forever. God never takes away your status as a child of God. And that's a blessed truth, and it actually motivates obedience. It doesn't motivate disobedience.
Right. Well, here's a question from Blake. Okay. Blake asks about your book, Turn and Live. So you have this book that you wrote fairly recently. It's called Turn and Live, The Power of Repentance. And people always ask us, you know, if we're saved by faith apart from works, well, I grew up hearing evangelism where people said you need to believe and repent. You need to repent and believe to be saved.
Right.
So where does repentance fit in all of this? And so we get that question asked all the time. And Zane Hodges wrote a book called Harmony with God. It's a slim little volume about the role of repentance. And now you wrote a slightly bigger book called Turn and Live, The Power of Repentance. And the two books kind of go together.
They do. They do. Because repentance can lead to harmony with God. If it's a believer that's repenting, they get back in fellowship. If it's an unbeliever, well, they're taking a step toward God and the likelihood that they will now be open to hearing the promise of everlasting life.
And so Blake was reading this book, and he says, Bob, I have a question. On page 103, item 3, you say that Luke 15:7 is in reference to the repentance of believers. Could you tell me where in chapter 15 that you understand Jesus to be talking about believers?
Okay, that's a good question. We have three parables in Luke 15. The parable of the lost sheep, which is what chapter 15, verses 4 through 7 is talking about, the verse that Blake is asking about. Then you get the parable of the lost coin with this woman that loses a coin. And then you get the parable, it's typically called the prodigal son, but you could also call it the parable of the lost son. Stop and think about it, Blake. Where was the sheep before it strayed? was the sheep out there away from God, or was the sheep right there with the shepherd? Well, the sheep was right there with the shepherd and the other 99 sheep.
You know, Zane and I, or the family and I, we've been watching Westerns.
Uh-huh.
And a theme of these Westerns is these guys have to protect their cattle, and these cattle right. are branded.
Right.
We're watching this episode of The Rifleman where Chuck Connors, his one of his cattle has a calf, and the calf gets stolen by cattle rustlers, and he has to go find this calf. But just because the calf was lost doesn't mean it wasn't his, you know?
Right.
And the same thing, the sheep gets lost, but the sheep already belongs to the shepherd.
Right. It's not like when the sheep returns, it now becomes part of the group of sheep. The same thing with the coins. This woman had 10 coins, probably on a bracelet, and one of them falls off the bracelet and gets lost. Well, when it's found, it's brought back. It's not like it gains a status it never had.
Right.
The same thing with the son. The son was a son of his father before he left. He didn't become a son by returning.
Right. So Blake's question is about Luke 15:7, which reads this way, "I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." And now I'm sure what Blake is thinking is this is referring to a sinner, and a sinner must be an unbeliever. And so this is kind of like an evangelistic encounter. An unbeliever has now come to faith and now is born again. And you're saying, no, that doesn't fit the context.
Right. And actually, the normal way this is understood, which I think it's the way Blake is taking it, most commentators would say that what Jesus said here is sarcastic, and he means exactly the opposite. So when Jesus said, "I say to you likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 people who think they are just..."
Right.
"Who think they don't need repentance."
And
in actuality, that's not what Jesus
right.
says.
Like, I can see why they would say that, because in verse 2, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees.
Right.
The Pharisees have this reputation of thinking that they are the just ones, and why is Jesus eating with these sinners?
Right.
And so it sounds like Jesus is talking about, yeah, God's way more happy when the people I'm eating with repent than you. But you're saying, no, Jesus actually means righteous people who actually don't need repentance.
Right. He calls them just, and he says they don't need repentance. And I think the point is clear that when a justified person is walking in fellowship with the Lord, there's no need of repentance. It's when we stray to the far country, and that's the third parable, the prodigal son, that's when we need to come back.
Right. So explain that a little bit more. We've talked about this before. There's a difference between repentance, when you need to repent, and when you need to just confess your sins, 1 John 1:7-9.
Right.
What is the difference? Okay. What role do those play?
If you look at 1 John, the words repent and repentance don't occur at all, and that's because the purpose of 1 John is how to have fellowship with God.
And we know that because it's the first few verses.
1 John 1, 3 and 4, or 1 through 4. And that's the purpose of the whole book, to have fellowship with God and fellowship with other believers who are in fellowship with God. Like the 99 sheep are in fellowship with God, and when this one returns, he's now in fellowship with God and the other 99 sheep who don't need repentance. Repentance is for the sheep that strays, the coin that gets lost, the son that goes to the far country. And when that happens, they need to return. Now, I can see how, like you say, people would say, well, this is all about the unbelievers. But not when you read the context. In fact, look at verse 24, Sean. This is pretty amazing. This is the lost son. And the father says, well, how about reading 23 and 24?
"And bring the fatted calf here and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry."
Now, did you see the words, "He was dead and is alive again"? What does that mean? An Arminian would say he was born again, he lost it, and he got it back. A Calvinist has real trouble with this verse.
Right.
But the simple point is, when he says, "This my son was dead," he's using dead metaphorically. Obviously, he wasn't physically dead. He was dead in the sense that he was dead to the father in terms of fellowship.
Right. It's like when sometimes parent-child relationships go bad, they'll say, "You're dead to me."
Right. Haven't you heard that one? And so what he's saying is, he's alive again, meaning he's back in fellowship with me.
Mm-hmm.
That makes perfect sense here. I've heard sermons where they tell the story of the returning one and how beautiful it is to come back to your family.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what this is about, coming back to the family of God. The 100 sheep represent believers in fellowship with God.
Mm. So when do we need to confess and when do we need to repent?
Oh, yeah. You asked me that question. I didn't answer it. Okay. Based on 1 John, if you're in fellowship with God, the issue is confession of our sins and also, of course, continuing to walk in the light, 1 John 1:7.
Right.
Not repentance.
So it assumes you're walking in the light, and then when you sin in thought, word, or deed, you confess that to the Lord. It means you admit that it's sin to God.
Right. Like the other day, I was turning into here, coming from a different direction than I normally come, and so I was kind of horsing around in which lane I was in, and someone came racing up behind me, and I saw him in my rearview mirror, a big pickup, and just barely missed back of me and went around me.
Yeah.
Going like, I don't know, 50 miles an hour or something on a road that's a 30-mile-an-hour, 35-mile-an-hour road, and nearly hit me.
Mm-hmm.
And I got real frustrated and started going after the person. I even went past turning into our thing. Then I'm like, okay, sorry, Lord, that was wrong. And I turned around and went back into our office. I didn't repent. What I did is I acknowledged that was wrong.
Right.
It was a little road rage, but it wasn't big road rage.
Yeah.
And I turned around and came in. And then as I thought about it more, I thought, you know, Lord, I think I was an idiot because I think I actually stopped kind of between two lanes. And it might have been my fault that I was messing with this person.
Right, right.
So, but the point is, that's confession.
That's
not repentance.
But let's say if someone leaves the church and they get into very ungodly, worldly lifestyle and they've rejected God and they've spoken against God, but they were a believer, but then now they've gone into all these
things. Now they need to leave the far country and repent.
That person needs to repent.
Right, because they've been in the far country.
Yeah.
Intentionally, they've been away from God, so they need to repent.
Well, that was very helpful, Bob. Thanks for those thoughts. And if you have any questions, like Blake did, about Bob's book, Turn and Live, or about anything else that we've written, send your question to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about whether live and let live is a biblical concept, so tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.